let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, John chapter 20. In a moment, we'll begin reading in verse 19. Notice the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us, by the way, if you're a believer. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessing upon the message today. I need a fresh filling of thy Spirit. I need your enablement today. Please lead and direct my thoughts and my words, and may everything that's said today be pleasing to thee. Lord, I pray that your word today would have free course, and that we would receive it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And Father, we pray for someone here that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're not sure if they were to die, where they would go, whether heaven or hell. I pray today that you'd give them understanding, and may they get that settled today, knowing that they can know that they're on their way to heaven through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please work in their hearts. But Father, for the believer, I pray that you'd give us understanding as I preach the message I believe you've led me to preach. Lord, move us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and make us a more obedient people. Please help me as I preach, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. September of 2016, the Barna Research Group released a survey that revealed some what I would call very eye-opening statistics about how the attendance in Christian churches has dramatically changed over the last 30 years. Now, 70 years prior, when they did polls, for example, Gallup polls and other statisticians all reported basically the same statistics 70 years ago. Here's what it was. 40% of America's population attended church every Sunday. That's amazing to me. To think that 40% of the population of America attended church every Sunday. Not so today. Not at all today. But what's interesting is as of 2016, mind you, 1 year ago, most people in America still do identify themselves as Christian. As a matter of fact, 73% say they are Christians. Now, I understand that's Christendom, really, professing Christians, and I get all that. 20% claim no faith in America. 6% identify with faiths like Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, and so forth. But 73% say they're Christian. Now, not only do most Americans still identify themselves as Christian, but in the same survey, a similar percentage, 73% again, also agree that religious faith is very important in their daily lives. In other words, they believe that they should live out what they believe. Now, does anybody else see the disconnect here? There's a little bit of a disconnect, if you ask me, because you have the same people that identify themselves as Christian, and they say that their faith is very important to be lived out on a daily basis, yet very few of them today faithfully attend church services. Very few. As a matter of fact, according to the Journal for Scientific Study of Religion, 17.7% of professing Christians attend church on a weekly basis. 17% of those that say they're saved identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and I'm talking about just on a Sunday morning basis. Now, think about the percentage, how that would diminish if we were to ask, okay, how many attend Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? It'd be even smaller yet. A very minute percentage of Bible of people that say they're believers. Why is that? Why? Well, God's place of the church hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. 1 Timothy 3:15 still tells us that the church, the local assembly, what we have here going on today, is still the house of God. It is still the pillar and ground of the truth. It is still the church of the living God. So that hasn't changed. God's command hasn't changed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Do you know, according to that verse, believers, those of us that know Christ as Savior, should not forsake the house of God when God's people meet together. When we come together to meet for worship and to sing and to fellowship and to have prayer and to hear preaching, we should not forsake. That's a command of God. As a matter of fact, if we really look at that verse, what it says is that according to that verse, the closer that we get to the coming of the Lord, we should be having more church services, not less. But are we? Are we? Now, it used to be you'd often hear testimonies of Christian families that would say this, and I like this testimony, and I hope you have it this morning. We're in church every time the doors are open. That's a wonderful testimony to have. Every time the doors are open, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, special services, revival meeting, missions conference, if the doors are open, we are there. Praise God for that. But I'm asking this morning, again, because that percentage obviously is very, very small. I'm asking this morning, why is it that so many that profess faith in Christ are not faithful to what the Bible says Jesus Christ loves? The Bible says He loves the church and He gave Himself for it. Why are there so many missing disciples? Where are they? This morning I'm going to preach on the subject, the missing disciple. Now tonight you come back, because this dovetails, and it's kind of funny, the word I just used, you'll know tonight why. But it dovetails into this evening's message called the sleeping disciple. This morning we'll look at the missing disciple. Tonight we'll see the sleeping disciple. Now here in John chapter 20 we find one of the 10 post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in Scripture. In other words, when we get here to John chapter 20, the Lord Jesus Christ has already gone to the cross of Calvary. He's died for the sins of the world. And at the beginning of the chapter, the early verses of chapter 20, we read of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Praise God for that. By the way, if you're here today and you're not certain of heaven, may I say this to you? God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood on the cross for your sins, to pay your sin debt in full, all of it. And if you will simply repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He will give you today eternal life. But Jesus has already went to the cross. He's risen from the dead. And here in our text, we find Christ's disciples. They're gathered there on the first day of the week, as we read in chapter 20 and verse 19. We read, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, they're assembling there in the upper room. May I put it this way? They're gathered together for a church meeting. They're having church up there. And guess who shows up? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shows up in the midst of them, and He's there with them. Must have been exciting. But it's interesting that we find in verse 24 that there is somebody conspicuously missing. Look what we read in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Can I ask you, why not? Where is he? Why isn't he there? The disciples are meeting together and they look over and he's not there. Why? Where is he? He should have been there. Let's look at that this morning. This morning I'd like for us to consider some things about this missing disciple. And I want to challenge you today. And I want to be kind today. And this is a message for our good. You ever go to the doctor and he gives you something that tastes really bad, but it's really good for you and it helps you? That may be what this message is today. May I say, I love Capital Baptist Church. I love every person that's here. And I want what's spiritually best for all of us. But you'll never get it if you're a missing disciple. A missing disciple. Let's consider, first of all, number one, who it was. Who is it that's missing? Well, we read in verse 24, I've already said it. We read, but Thomas, notice, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Remember, after the disciples were told in the earlier portion of the chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he rose from the dead, and there were certain appearances to others, some of the women, and they went running to the disciples and said, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so they decided to assemble together in that upper room. They're there in that upper room. We read in verse 24 it was the first day of the week. I'm sorry, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. So here they are on the Lord's day, Sunday. By the way, that is a New Testament day of worship. It's the time God wants us, God's people, to gather together as a church. It was the Lord's day. The disciples were all there. They glance over and they see an empty chair. Somebody's missing. Somebody's not there. Who is it? Who's not here? Well, may I say, first of all, who it was not? It was not Judas. Now, it was true Judas wasn't there. I understand that. But nobody expected Judas to be there. Matter of fact, at this point, Judas was dead anyway. But even if he wasn't dead, they wouldn't have expected him to be there. You say, why is that? Because Judas was a false disciple. He was not a saved man. He was not a man. He was a man that professed Christ, but did not possess Christ. He was never born again. He was the one who played the game, who knew what to say and how to act. But in reality, he was not a believer. He was the one that betrayed our Lord. He was the one that led the enemies of the Lord, those soldiers, into the Garden of Gethsemane and turned Jesus Christ over to them, if we will. I understand it was the Father's will and so forth. But it wasn't him. He wasn't a saved man. He wasn't there. Nobody expected him to be there. He already hung himself anyway. So it wasn't Judas. They didn't look over and wonder, where's Judas? They knew he wouldn't be there. It was not either Judas nor Pontius Pilate. You see, Pontius Pilate, why would he be there? Exactly. Why would he be there? Like Judas, nobody would expect a man like Pontius Pilate to be there. Why? Because he wasn't a saved man either. Pilate had his chance during his lifetime to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have known him. He could have worshipped him. He could have accepted him as Lord and Savior. He could have befriended him. He could have served him. But Pilate chose the friendship of the world, the friendship of Caesar, over the friendship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was a lost man. He wasn't interested in the things of God. He wasn't interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man that was dead in his sins and trespasses, and none of them expected him to be there. Now, before I was saved, I drove just about every day past an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist, Bible-thumping church. I mean, on my way into Atlantic City, I took often Pitney Road. I took it down to Route 30 and took it into Atlantic City. And I would drive by Mainland Baptist Church. But to be honest with you, I had no idea it was there. If you were to say to me, hey, you know that church on Pitney Road? I'd say, what church? I had no interest in it. I didn't care about it. I was a lost man. I was dead in my sins. Spiritual things at that time did not interest me. So there was nobody in that church scratching their head saying, hey, I wonder why that guy down the road doesn't come to our services. They didn't expect me to be there because I was lost and without Christ. Same with Pilate. He wasn't there, but nobody expected it. So it wasn't Judas that was expected to be there and missing. It wasn't Pilate that was missing. Who was it? Who was the one missing? Thomas. Thomas? Why wouldn't Thomas be there? Why in the world would not Thomas be at this meeting? Thomas was a man that they expected to be there. He was a man that should have been there. Where was he? Thomas was a saved man. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was a believer. As a matter of fact, he was more than just a believer. He was one of the 12. Out of all the people that Christ could have chosen in this world, he chose 12 of them to be apostles. One of them we know was a false apostle, but one of those 11 was this man, according to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3, named Thomas. He was an apostle. He even said, like Peter in John chapter 11 and verse 16, that he would go to death and die with Christ if he had to for his faith. That was a man that was missing. He followed Christ. He heard Christ preach. He saw Christ's miracles. He sat there in the upper room in that circle there when the Lord Jesus Christ had instituted the Lord's Supper and broke the bread and gave the disciples those tender instructions about the future. He sat there with his eyes glued to the Lord Jesus Christ and his ear listening to every word that fell out of his mouth. He was there leaving the room with them, crossing down the Kidron Valley across the brook Kidron and walked with Christ up to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there the whole time. He was there when the soldiers came and pulled him away and brought him and arrested him. He was even there when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for the sins of the world, paying our sin debt. Thomas stood there and with his eyes gazed upon Jesus Christ. Where is he now? Why isn't he here? Surely at a meeting of believers, you'd think that someone that says they're saved, that says they're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'd expect them to be there. But he was gone. When they glanced over at that chair, they knew exactly it was who it was that was missing and that should have been there. It was Thomas. Can I ask us this question this morning? Is it too much that being too hard or even harsh to ask the same question of every believer? Where are the missing disciples? Where are they? You know, it's sad for any congregation in America, any group of believers, where there are those who profess to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You talk to them on the street, and they'll say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Some even identifying themselves with a local assembly, saying, yes, that's a church that I identify with. Some of them even being on the membership rolls, those are there, and they could be in a service, could be at the meeting, but they're not there when God's people meet together. Why? Where are the missing disciples? You know, it's sad when we can show up for social events. It's sad when there's a fellowship and there's food involved and things like that, that we're there. Or how about this, when there's a business meeting announced? All of a sudden, everybody wants to be there. They want to. Give everybody else the what for, you know? But why not when it's the time of preaching and prayer and fellowshipping with God's people, the time that you and I, that God has ordained to worship God and hear from the heaven on high, somehow, why is it that many that could be there, they're not there, they're conspicuously missing? They're like Thomas, the missing disciple. Can I ask a pointed question? You say, you've been asking some pointed questions. If you don't, why don't you come Sunday night? Why not Wednesday night? Why? Why? You see, the one missing was not a lost man. He wasn't a Bible denier. He was not someone who was antagonistic to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was someone who knew the Lord, professed Christ, yet he was not there. He was a missing disciple. So notice, first of all, again, who it was. But secondly, notice what he missed. You know, Thomas missed so much when he wasn't there. It's amazing. By the way, the meeting that he missed wasn't dull. It wasn't boring. It wasn't uninteresting. In fact, quite the opposite. Kind of a pretty exciting time. Can you imagine there? Notice then the same day, verse 19, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. That's pretty exciting if you ask me. Can you see the eyes of the disciples when he showed up? Hello. Can you imagine the change in their countenance? Can you imagine that? You know, I truly believe that Thomas would have gone if he knew what he was missing. If he knew what was going to happen, if he truly realized what was taking place in that service, he would have been there. And I think sometimes the reason we become missing disciples is that we don't realize what happens when we get together. We forget what the purpose of this meeting is. By the way, being here for service is not about counting heads. It's not about I'm preaching this message because I'd like to see a bigger attendance so I can put on our website, well, we had so much so in a service or publish a number somewhere. Not. It's not about that at all. It's about the fact that you and I need a church for our spiritual well-being. But some people aren't convinced of that. They have the idea, well, I only need a little bit and that's it. And I did my duty. I punched my religious time clock and so forth. No, no. You are missing so much when you miss a service. You cannot be. I have never met a strong Christian, the one here, when the doors, every time the doors were open. Never have. I've met many a weak Christian that miss a lot. And they wonder why they're so weak and why they're not having victory and why. Because you're missing so much when you miss a church service. You see, you and I cannot be the kind of Christian God wants us to be if we miss church. We cannot be the kind of husband or wife, father or mother, friend, employee, employer. We cannot be that if we miss the meeting of God's people. You say, why is that, preacher? Because we miss so much. You say, what do we miss? A few songs? A little ditty that you give? You know, oh, it's much more than that, beloved. This is not about me this morning. It's not about trying to count people. It's about yours and my spiritual well-being. You know, when we went away last week to Ocean City, New Jersey, you know where we were Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Church. Now, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that because we need it. We need Sunday school. We need Sunday morning. We need Wednesday evening. We need all of that. Because when we don't go, we miss so much. Say, preacher, what do we miss? What did Thomas miss? I'll show you what he missed. I find four, at least four, possibly five, if I can squeeze them in real quick. I'm going to rattle them off. Five things that Thomas missed. Notice, first of all, he missed Christ's presence. Look what we read in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Notice here was this small company of 10, what I would say despondent, disparaged, fearful men. The Bible says they were fearful in verse 19. They're now meeting behind closed doors, shaking in their boots, if you will. And something amazing happens. Jesus Christ shows up. By the way, the presence of Christ changed their life. Look at verse 20. We read, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Notice, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Have you ever thought of this truth? And maybe you've never thought it through. I don't know. I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but that whenever God's people gather together, whenever a church meets together with hungry hearts, I believe that if you and I come together in a service and we have ears to hear, do you know who shows up every single time? Jesus Christ, if we're paying attention. He shows up. We will sense his presence when we come together. We will hear his voice. We will see Jesus. He will be in the midst of us. And oh, what that does for our hearts. Didn't the Lord Jesus say to his disciples in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Didn't he say when two or three are gathered together, when we come together as a church, that he is there? He's there. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Imagine if I were to tell you this, and I know the theology behind this is wrong, but I'm just saying this. If I were to tell you, all of us this morning, tonight, Jesus Christ will be here physically. He's going to be here. I'll tell you what we'd do. We would clear the schedule. Real quick. Maybe even be here early to get a front seat, anticipating him coming. You and I both know if we truly were told that and it were true, we'd be here. If not, you're foolish, by the way. Well, can I say this? He will be here. He will be here.
Right.
You say, well, I don't see him. Doesn't matter. He's here. He said he's here. That was exactly what Thomas needed.
Right. Yeah.
But he missed it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. When they came out a little bit later, said, we've seen the Lord. He's got his arms folded. If I were one of them, I'd say, Thomas, you could have been there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just watch it on the replay on YouTube. I'll just watch it online. There's a difference, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a difference. Now, I love the convenience of that, and when people are sick and so forth can use that, it's wonderful. But there's a huge difference between watching and being in the assembly. The presence of Christ. He missed it. There's a second thing he missed. He missed Christ's presence. He also missed Christ's peace.
Yeah.
Notice verse 21. Then said, I know he said it earlier in verse 19, but in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Christ bestowed upon those disciples peace. And by the way, that is what the presence of Christ does. Whenever you are in the presence of God, whenever you sense His presence, it undoubtedly produces a peace in our hearts. Oh, I think of Daniel in the den of lions. You remember that night that Daniel was tossed into that den of lions? And watch this. That same night, you have Daniel in the den of lions, but you have in the palace Darius the king. Darius the king spent the night in the palace, Daniel in the den of lions. May I ask you something? Who slept better that night? Daniel did. Why is that? The presence of God. That was the difference. You see, Thomas was a man like much like me and you. He was filled with turmoil. There was restlessness in his heart. He was filled with doubt because of what was transpiring in the world and what he had seen. And you and I face the same types of things. I mean, we look outside and we see all this craziness going on, and we're just filled with turmoil and so forth. And understand, it was the peace of God that Thomas needed more than anything else. But he missed it. He wasn't there. He missed the bestowment of the peace of God which came from the presence of Christ in that assembly. There's a third thing real quick. Not only did he miss Christ's presence and Christ's peace, he also missed the confirmation of his purpose. You say, what do you mean? Notice what Christ says to him in verse 21. As my Father, at the end of the verse, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, mind you, the 10 disciples that were there in the upper room, they just saw Jesus Christ die on the cross. They weren't getting it all. When they saw him die on the cross, they had this idea, wait a minute, our king has died. Everything they had put their hope in seemed to go away. And the great program that Christ gave them to do seemed to be finished, to be over. They had lost their purpose in this world. They had no goal. But Jesus Christ came to them and he reminded them of why they were in this world. As my Father sent me, so send I you. What happened? Oh, it changed their lives. You know, that's what church does. That's what it does. When you and I, when those of you that work in the world, when you're out in this world, what the tendency is we lose our focus. We can easily misplace our priorities. We can get caught up in the thinking of the world, and we can forget why we're here. Then we come into the house of God. And we hear some crazy old screaming Baptist preacher with his sweat and his spit and his veins popping out of his forehead, reminding us of something that's very important, why we are here. And you need that reminder. And I need that reminder. You see, Thomas did not get recharged like those other disciples did. He missed it. There's a fourth thing. He missed Christ's presence. He missed Christ's peace. He missed his confirmation of purpose. He also missed Christ's power. Preacher, I'm so weak. Preacher, I don't understand why I can't get victory over this sin. Preacher, I just can't do it. I can't live the Christian life. Can I ask you something? You're faithful to all the services? Just ask him. It was at this service that Jesus Christ breathed the Holy Spirit of God into them. And I understand the theology behind that, that when a person gets saved, they get the Spirit of God indwelling in them. They're baptized by the Spirit. But understand, right here, they received his power. I mean, the task that was before them was humanly impossible. Imagine being told to evangelize the world, to go out in this dark, dark world and give the gospel out to a lost and dying world, to live the Christian life, to have victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. Imagine that task. But it was in that meeting that Jesus Christ empowered them to do it. You see, in that meeting, boy, their hearts were warmed. Oh, their hopes were revived. Their joy was overflowing. Their confidence was built. They got a new kick in their step. They marched out of that meeting, ready to take on the world for Jesus Christ. But Thomas, with his hands in his pocket, was like, what happened? What's the big deal? He missed it. There's another thing quickly, number five, that he missed. He also missed Christ's people. He missed Christ's presence, Christ's peace, the confirmation of purpose, Christ's power, and he missed Christ's people. You say, well, there's no big there, big deal there. I mean, God's people, we're a bunch of hypocrites. We all have issues. You know, you're right. To some extent, we are all hypocrites. And we all do have issues. You haven't figured that out, hang around a little bit longer. But let me tell you this. I would rather be with God's people that love the Lord and are trying to do the right thing, that have issues, 1,000 days, than I'd rather be 1 minute with the lost and unbelieving, godless, Christ-rejecting world. I'd rather be here with you. Because you know what? We get together and we realize, hey, you know what? This Bible is true. Hey, you know what? God is good. Amen. And there's other people that believe like I do. And we encourage one another. But if you miss a meeting, you're going to miss it. Thomas missed that whole fellowship, all of that. He missed the encouragement. He missed the challenge. And I wonder today, do we realize what we're missing when we miss a meeting, when we could be here and we're not here? Every single meeting is important. If it's not important, we shouldn't have it. Let's just can Wednesday night then if it's not important. Let's just do that. You're right, I'm not going to do it. Because it's important. Well, if it is important, then it's important enough to have, then it's important enough to be here for. Just saying. You know why? Because I need it. And you need it. I need to sense Christ's presence. I need to receive Christ's peace. I need to confirm Christ's purpose. I need Christ's power. And I need God's people as well. But we'll never get that if we're a missing disciple. And then lastly, I want you to notice this last thing. Not only who it was, the missing disciple, not only what he missed, but I want you to see lastly what he learned. Notice in verse 25, then other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Now, I know we can't really technically read expression unless there's an explanation point there. It's a period. But I just have this sense. I just think this, and I think you will too. I don't think they came out of the meeting and said, yeah, we saw the Lord. Yeah. I don't think it was like that at all. I think they walked out of that meeting and they glared on Thomas, seeing them perhaps over in the marketplace. And I could see them all running over to him, perhaps even grabbing him by the collar and saying, Thomas, you won't believe it. We have seen the Lord. Amen. That's kind of how I think it went. That's how it would have been with me. Yeah. Man, we saw the Lord. God moved in the service. You ever see, you know, you walk out, man, it was a great service. And you talk to somebody that was a missing disciple. They're like, oh, okay. No, you don't get it. We saw people saved. We saw the altars filled. God was moving in a great way. Oh, that's good. But you know, Thomas had enough sense. He had enough sense to realize that there was something to what they were saying. Notice, if you will, after they say, we have seen the Lord. Yes, he doubted for a moment. He says, but he said unto them, verse 25, in the middle, except I shall see his hand, the print of the nails, and put my fingers in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with it, and Thomas with them. I think he got to think about that. I think he just kind of off the cuff said, well, if when I see the print of his nails, and I thrust my hand in his side, then I'll believe. Well, you all meeting again? In 8 days? You know what? I think I'll come. I think I'll come. He had enough sense to realize, wait a minute, I missed something great. I missed something that God wanted to do in my life. And he said, I'm going to be there. And the Lord showed up when he went. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Do you know what happened to Thomas? His life was changed. He one meeting that he showed, the very next one, his life was changed. Notice, even Christ says, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. You know, I don't think he really did do that. I think the Lord said to him, here, go ahead, put it in. He went, yeah, I don't really have to do that. I believe. And he fell on his knees, I'd imagine, and raised his hands up and said, my Lord and my God. His life was changed because of one meeting. Imagine if he missed it. Imagine if during missions conference there's a meeting that God wants to call somebody to a faraway land to be a missionary there, and you are a missing disciple. You could miss God's will for your life by missing one meeting. You know what's interesting about Thomas after he showed up for that meeting and said, my Lord and my God? I personally believe that he was never again to be a missing disciple. Never again. I'd imagine he probably said, I am never going to miss another meeting again. And I think I can prove that, at least by its ramifications, that Thomas went on to be a great missionary to the country of India. Imagine if he didn't show up for that meeting, that second meeting. And imagine if he said, well, you know, I'm a little tired tonight and just don't feel like going. And after all, I got a little sniffle tonight. And so maybe I'll catch the next one. He didn't say that at all. He made sure he was there. He met the Lord, and he realized the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and history tells us that multitudes of people and many churches were planted by Thomas in the nation of India in that country. You go there today, and you'll find memorials and memories of Thomas in India. All going back to one meeting, one decision that he said, I'm not going to be the missing disciple anymore. Let me ask you something. How about you? I'm saying this for your well-being. I am. I don't want you to miss the will of God. I don't want you to backslide spiritually. I don't want you to be the kind of Christian that just kind of does nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want all of us, everyone in our church, to live for God and do His will with our lives. Let me ask you something. Are you a missing disciple? Like Thomas? Maybe you were once a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 3 to 5 type Christian, but you're not anymore. Maybe you've never been, and you're wondering, what's all the excitement around that? I just don't get why everybody gets all hyped up about this Bible. Maybe if you stopped being a missing disciple, you'd understand why. You see, when saints gather themselves together, when a local church assembles, God manifests himself. He wants to do something in our hearts. He empowers us. He helps us every single time. But we have to be here. Maybe you've come up with some poor excuses, you know? I like this one, and I hear a lot. I'm tired. Guess what? Join the world of tired. Is there anybody not tired? If not, then I'm going to put you to work somewhere. Is anybody? We're all tired. Everybody's, I'm tired, I'm busy. Everybody's tired and busy. Half of the work in this world gets done by tired, busy people. I'm tired. I'm not feeling good. But we go to work the next day with the same sniffle we had Sunday night. I don't get that. I just don't get that. Well, I got other things to do. I got to fix my car. I'm working on my house. I got to. Hey, you know what's the problem is? You're not realizing what happens in a meeting. You're not realizing the supernatural thing that God wants to do in your heart and life every time we meet together. Because if we did, we would be like Thomas and say, you know what? I may have been a missing disciple before, but I'm not going to be a missing disciple. You know, when my wife and I first got saved, we thought, we really did. And by the way, being a missing disciple sometimes is a matter of ignorance. You just don't understand. We didn't understand how it worked. We thought Sunday was supposed to be Sunday morning or Sunday night. That's your choice, whichever works out in your schedule. That's what we thought. We had the idea that it was the same message on Sunday night. Same thing happened. And we just thought, we'll go Sunday morning. And so we're home Sunday night. You know, nothing's wrong, you know. And then we heard preaching. We thought, oh, it's a different message on Sunday night? Oh, you meet again? Oh, I get it. I get it. So some people are missing because of ignorance. I understand that. The ones that concern me are those that have been saved a long time. Those that profess Christ, and they know better. And they're just a missing disciple. You can change that today. Don't do it for me. Do it for him. Say today, I'm no longer going to be a missing disciple. Let's pray together.